Yes, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of the Jungle Show. Really excited to be back and to talk Auburn basketball. This time, Auburn ends their four-game losing streak and gets in the win column again after a big, literally and figuratively in this one, over Missouri at home by a score of 89-56 on Tuesday night. Before we get started, just want to remind everybody that this season Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose in between 2 and 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over and under for this game, and win prizes if they win well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 of your bets, and you can have multiple sports and multiple positions in the same parlay. Best of all, if you use promo code Auburn to receive double on your first deposit up to $100, this promo code Auburn, AUBURN, for double on your first deposit this college basketball season. Win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Again, use promo code Auburn. So we are back to talk more Auburn basketball, just like we are on every edition of the Jungle Show. And we thank y'all for listening. I'm excited for this one. There's a little bit of pep in my step, and there, you know, it's kind of dwindled down over the past few episodes. And I hate that because I really do enjoy sitting here and talking about Auburn basketball with y'all, but like, it's been tough, but this one's going to be great. But to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, I hope you're excited as I am to talk about this one, because this one was a fun one to watch.
Bruce Pearl gave us one of the best Valentine presents I've ever been given.
Yeah.
Dominating. You're right. You have been the past few shows a little down, a little quiet.
Of course.
Yeah. You're a little pepped up tonight. And and I don't blame you. Maybe the best game I've seen them play in at least a year, if not going back to 2019. It was that good. It was that dominant on every phase. And we won. We were dominant on every phase against A&M, and we lost.
Yep.
This time we dominated every phase of the game, and it wasn't close from the beginning.
Yeah, and I guess you see what – if you put together a really, really good basketball game like you did against A&M, just like you mentioned – and the officials don't take over the game, or you put together a good enough game on both sides of the court, kind of like you did defensively with Tennessee, but you couldn't hit the broad side of a barn door in Knoxville, or you just don't play against probably the best team in the country in Alabama. You know, we've been saying it for the past few episodes. This Auburn team has been playing much, much, much better. It really showed in this game.
Tell me about it.
89-56, a 30-6 start to the game. You know, we talked about what this game could mean when we talked about the Alabama game a few days ago. We talked about what this game against Missouri means for the future of this team, for the future of this program, how this could possibly be a must-win game if Auburn wanted to secure themselves in the NCAA tournament coming in March. After this performance, after seeing this game, after watching this dominating win for the Tigers, what does it mean?
First of all, it means confidence. I think that Auburn can really develop some confidence in themselves after that game. Yes, it was at home, but that's a good Missouri team. Maybe not defensively as much, but they played Iowa State and just beat them like a drum by shooting threes. They played Tennessee in Knoxville and put, 86 to 85 against Tennessee in Knoxville. We all know how hard that is, or we should. We've scored 43 against Tennessee and Knoxville.
Yeah, they this doubled not, whatever you did in Knoxville.
Yeah, this is not a bottom of the SEC basketball team.
No.
They're not the best team, but they are good enough that if you didn't play well, they could have beat you, and that would have really hurt. Bruce Pearl said before the game, must-win game. We talked about it a little bit in our last show, and I hate calling something a must-win game, because then if you lose, how do you build off of it? But this was as close to a must win as you're going to get. They need to get 3 to 4 wins out of this 6-game stretch, in my opinion, to feel confident about the tournament. And Missouri at home is one that
you needed to get.
We needed. And, it'll help our RPI too.
Yeah, just like you mentioned, Auburn, just like Bruce said it was a must win. I don't like saying that, but it, just like you said, it felt like a must win because not only were you tied with Missouri in the SEC race, like you're going for that double bye in the SEC, you are firmly in third place now.
Yeah.
But now you have it. Well, and if, by the way, if Tennessee loses to Alabama tonight, you'll be tied for second place. But now you're in a situation where, okay, now you've got two games. You got Vandy on the road Saturday. You got Ole Miss at home next week before you hit the last three games of the season, which are at Kentucky, at Alabama, and Tennessee. And those five games we talked about with this, just like you said, you mentioned the 6-game stretch to end the year. We talked about that in the last episode. We talked about after the Alabama game, before this Missouri game, you wanted to win 4 of those 6. Win the 3, win the first 3, and get at least one of those, the 3 at the end. But this felt like a start of something because this team has not played great before and still won. Mm-hmm. Florida game, they didn't play really great. They won. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Northwestern game, everybody remembers that, even though that game is quad one win now. That was not a very fun game to watch. They've also played really, really well and lost. We've been talking about the Texas A&M game is a perfect scenario. I think the Alabama game could be up there as well. Mm-hmm. You played really, really well. But now you're starting to see Auburn's playing the right basket. They're playing their best basketball at the right time of the year when they need to turn it on at the end of the year, the perfect time. This is where teams – the end of the year stretch, this is where teams – become great regular season teams or great tournament teams. Great teams in February are not only the best teams in March, but it really, really helps if you can win in February, get your confidence, just like you said, get your swag back. We'll talk about that with a specific player that I want to talk about here in a minute. But getting a swag back, get your team. We got leaders, we got guards. We're built for the tournament. Right now, it's just going to be about putting it all together.
What are we 18-6? Eight? If you'll look back at 2019, I believe we were 18-8 at this point in the season as well, coming off a blowout loss in Lexington.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that was so bad.
And by like 30. And I'm not saying that this is a Final Four team. I don't think they are. But that team was struggling this time of year until they figured it out.
Exactly.
And they put it together and they made a run.
And we talk about the 2019 team that put it together at the right time. We could talk this exact same about the opposite end from last year's team, where I think, I don't want to say they peaked too early, but they were playing their best basketball at the beginning part of the year.
Early January.
And teams started to figure out how to guard them. And then they started missing shots, and it just went downhill and ended up losing in the second round.
Yep.
He ran into a buzzsaw in Miami for some reason.
Who's a good team this year too, by the way.
Yes. Now moving on, this Missouri game. Let's dive right in. Let's just talk about it. This was a dominating win. This was a put it all together win because this was not a – Missouri is not a pushover.
No.
I think that there is a team, or maybe two, probably just one, left on your schedule that's going to be a pushover.
One.
Of course, I'm talking about Kentucky. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's Ole Miss. But because I think Vandy's pretty solid too. But
Vandy's
Missouri is not a pushover. This is a huge basketball game in the jungle on Valentine's Day. And you just absolutely whipped them. We've been talking about, when will Auburn play their best basketball game? What has been their best basketball game? And up to this point, I think it was the Washington game. You just put on a clinic offensively, They didn't really look like they knew what they were doing. That was not a very good basketball team. That was a while ago.
No,
you just kind of beat them off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
This Missouri game was Auburn's best basketball game in every single aspect possible. Talk about defense. You held that Missouri team to 56 points, just like you mentioned. They dropped 86 in Knoxville, a place where you put 43. They doubled what you did in Knoxville and beat Tennessee on a buzzer beater, which was sweet.
They average like 80 points a game.
They average 81 points a game. You held them to 56. They average 16 assists a game. You held them to just 10. They average 30 rebounds a game. You put that down to 26 and completely out-rebounded them by 22.
Yeah.
They're 16th in the nation. Up to this Auburn game, they were 16th in the nation at effective field goal percentage at 72%, which is, I mean, being inside the top 30 of that, you're a really good offensive basketball team because you know how to put the ball in the basket. They were 32% in this Auburn game. They were 9th in the nation in first half points per game at just over 32. They had 18.
They didn't get there.
Yeah, Auburn had 45. There.
Yeah.
So this you also caused more turnovers, which got them kind of angry. You know, we saw new head coach from Cleveland State, Dennis Gates is his name, from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jimmy Dykes said it on the broadcast perfectly. He's been really calm, collected. He's a first-year guy. You know, he's not a real hoorah type of dude like Bruce and Calipari mm-hmm. and those guys are. He's a very, like, calm, laid-back coach. He was getting fired up because his team wasn't.
No.
They just did not look like they belonged to the same floor as Auburn in that game. But then you talk about, you know, we talked about the success on defense that you had against a great offensive team. You put 89 points on them. You beat the crap out of them. You got 33 points off the bench, which we've been begging mm-hmm. for. Jahni Broome looked dominant. I don't know where that was against Alabama, but he went 3 of 11 against Alabama. He went 8 of 13 in this game. He went 20 and 10. Alan Flanagan looked outstanding. I don't know where that was against Alabama. He went 1 of 9 against Alabama. He goes 6 of 7 in this one. Jalen played great. Wendell Green did not have a field goal, but I think was the MVP of this game.
So had you told me before the game, hey, yeah. Wynn's not going to make a field goal. He's going to go 0 of 5.
Yeah.
He's going to make 5 free throws. 5 of 5 from the free throw line. I'd have told you we're going to take a big fat L and it's not going to be close.
Yeah.
Because he's been the guy that has had to carry us point wise.
Exactly.
The fact that he had 9 assists and no turnovers is something that you could have told me and I'd have gone,
Every single one of those assists was flat out perfect. When you talk about Wendell Green, he's been the scorer. He's been the main guy that the offense has run through. And it's been
– Had to.
Yeah, he's been great. And it's been good, but it's not been winning games.
Mm-hmm.
But we see now that if Wendell Green gets help, especially from a certain position, the two-guard position, yes, definitely. If Wendell Green gets help there, he doesn't have to be the scorer. He can be the player that Wendell Green knows he is. And just distribute, run the offense, be the point guard number one, have 9 assists, have 0 turnovers. He was great. Let's talk about the bench, though. 33 points off the bench. That's the most I think we've had an SEC play. Unless Allen went for 20 one time on the bench. Yeah. I could be wrong. But this is definitely the most that we've had since Chris Moore got hurt and Allen got thrown into the starting lineup. But 8 points for Leroy Berman, 8 points for Dylan Carwell, along with 10 rebounds, 2 points for Trey Donaldson on a breakaway dunk, and 15 points for KD Johnson, who goes 4 of 6 from 3. Now, I mentioned earlier, talk about getting your swag back. The team needed to get their swag back, and the best way to do that is to win. Just win. And they just haven't been able to do that. Katie, in a large part, is we need offense off the bench. That's exactly what Katie Johnson gave you, especially at the two. I mean, we talk about Zeb Jasper as well, buried 2 threes to start off the second half. That's exactly what we need.
So our two-guard position which has been giving us about 6 or 8 points a game, gave us 21 points, 6 boards, a block by Zepp, and 3 steals. If you can get that from your 2-guard position, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
And you're right. KD did most of that. And he looked like the Georgia KD, to be honest with you. He looked like that kid that was a freshman that knew nobody could stop him.
Exactly.
And he was fantastic. We need him. Get his
confidence up. When his confidence is high, this team's confidence is high. And, and that could also go for somebody like Janai or Jalen or Allen or maybe even Wendell. But I don't think Wendell struggles with his confidence. I think Wendell is struggling with getting help. We gave Wendell help in this game.
Absolutely. And you got double-double from your center, from your starting center, and you had 10 more boards from your backup center. By the way, they're not big. No. Missouri doesn't have anybody that could match our size. When we got up 30-4 or whatever, I think I tweeted out, okay, the ball needs to see the paint every possession. Yeah. It's all right if we kick it out and get a 3 that way, but there's no need in the world to dribble down and shoot a 3 because our bigs are dominating. That poor child in there with the light colored skin and the light, big, bushy hair.
Yeah, Carter.
He had no answer for what was happening to him. No, and he tried, but just nothing. And Kobe Brown, their best player, had 7 points because we defended like beasts against
That's what I was about to mention. It was like he was a non-factor, especially in the first half. And if you to beat Missouri, you've got to make him a non-factor. Now, Kobe Brown, the kid from Huntsville, who at Alabama and Auburn both really wanted, he went to Missouri, had a dominating year last year and was preseason first team all SEC. And has been playing like it. He averages like 16 and 17 a game. He's very, very, very good.
Yes.
And you held him to 7 points and 5 rebounds.
And it wasn't just one guy on him.
No, it was
Jalen. There were times when Wynn was guarding him. There were times when Zepp was guarding him. Yeah. There were times when Alan Flanagan was guarding him. And every one of them got lower than he was and got up in him. And it bothered him. It was intentional. The way we were guarding Kobe Brown, and it worked.
Yes. The best thing to take away from that is to not just look at what you did to Kobe Brown, but also what you did on Saturday to Brandon Miller.
The game before,
If you can completely take away an opposing team's best player like that, it's going to put you in a fantastic spot, and you give the credit. Obviously you give the credit to the players, but you give the credit to the coaches and the coaching staff on that. They're very, very good at that. And Bruce and his staff has been really, really good at that for a long time, taking away that best player.
Well, we did it against Texas A&M the game before that too.
Tyrese Bradford,
The kid who had 30 on us the first time had like 10. Yep. So yeah, we have figured some things out on defense. After the A&M game at home, where they were just getting in the slot and going straight to the basket, we haven't allowed that again. And you can tell that it's that's all coaching is getting on them and saying, this is not going to happen. He started moving a big up and hedging screens a little bit more. But we've gotten – Radford messed up. We got the number 24 for Alabama messed up. And then we just shut Kobe Brown down. He hit a 3 late in the second half, or he would have 4 points. It's nothing. He can explode for 25 or 30 in almost
any difference in the game. Yeah. It'd be the difference. Yeah, exactly. So, now moving on, you get this win over Missouri. You're officially tied for currently, as we're speaking, tied for second place, or tied for third place in the SEC, or no, sole place, third place in the SEC. If Tennessee loses tonight, you'll be tied for second. Now you're looking at if Alabama inevitably beats Tennessee, you could push into that second seed, and that would be really, really good to get away from Alabama on the bracket. Yes. In the SEC tournament. Yeah. I just want to mention that we're not trying to, make or like talk about like what's ahead at the SEC tournament, because that's a few weeks away. But nevertheless, this is a dominating victory for Auburn, a very, very good confidence booster, getting the swag back, a perfect Valentine's present, just like you said. It's just, I don't think you could ask for a better game, a more put together game from Auburn against this Missouri team. Offensively, defensively, bench. You shot 80% from the free throw line again. You shot 50% from three. I mean, it was just all coming together for Auburn.
And
how can they push that and not just in these next two games against Vandy and Ole Miss, which you have to do that, but how can they build on this one even more? Because we talked about building on the A&M game, building on the Alabama game. Now you can say, okay, we just beat that team by 33. How do you build on that?
It comes down to knowing what your strengths are and knowing where to go.
Yeah.
Henry Patton on Twitter sent out a thing saying, since the year became 2023, so since the end of last year, Alan Flanagan is averaging 12 points and 5.5 rebounds a game, shooting 59% true shooting percentage.
Wow.
That's part of it.
That's very good.
You're starting to get the Alan Flanagan that shoved the kid out of the way and went up and dunked the ball in the fast break.
Wow, man.
And then another play in the second half where Wendell's driving down the middle and just kind of no look hands it to Flanagan, and he's jumping out of the gym. That's the Flanagan that we need at the three. So we've got scoring now at the three. We know we've got scoring at the one. We know we've got scoring at the five, although the Bediako bothered him, and I'm a little concerned going to Vanderbilt because that guy's 7 feet and is averaging 28 on his last few games. Vanderbilt is a good basketball team and playing in a horrible place to play basketball. So I expect Auburn to have a large contingent of people there. But we got scoring at the five. I'd like to see Jalen get more shots and be more aggressive at the four still. And we've got to keep getting scoring at that two guard. That's the key, I think, going forward, is that two position. And that's KD and that's Zepp. Yep. And it can be Wynn if they run Trey at the point.
I like that. Yeah.
But whoever's at that two guard, you're a shooting guard. You've got to score. That position, we've talked about this all year long. So it gets a little bit repetitive, I know. But if we can get scoring at that position, 21.6 boards, a block and three steals, I'll take that from the two slot all year long. And I think we'll be fine. Vanderbilt's tough. You go up and you beat Vanderbilt and continue to build some momentum. Then you come home. I know Ole Miss is not great. I feel like we should beat them by playing normal at home.
And then you get those three.
And then you go to Kentucky, who, by the way, I think is really beatable.
Yeah.
I think they are struggling mentally right now. Calipari's struggling. I think they're just off.
Yeah.
Off kilter somehow. So I think you can get that win. And to be honest with you, I think we can beat Tennessee and Neville.
I do too. If you play like – well, I'm telling you this right now. You play like you did against Missouri. You build on it and get better. There's a chance that on these last five games you could go 4-1. And if you go 5-0, then I'm running through the streets of Tuscaloosa
Don't say it.
So,
by the way, Tennessee's up 13-12 with 11:50 in the first half.
Yes, and that's completely old news if you're listening to this now. But yeah, we're talking while that game's going on. I do want to mention, just like you said, yes, Vanderbilt is a good basketball team, and we'll be back to talk about that Vanderbilt game. But I do want to mention the guy that you're talking about. His name is Liam Robbins. He is a 7-footer at the big, and he's a scorer. Ever since Vanderbilt went and got absolutely manhandled by Alabama by 57 points in Coleman Coliseum, Liam Robbins, they are on a 4-game win streak, including wins over Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida, and South Carolina. In those games, against Ole Miss, he had 19-12. Against Tennessee, he had 14-9. Against Florida, he had 32-10. And against South Carolina, he had 24-8. You've got to slow him down. That's obviously the success that he had because his free throw, his field goal percentage has completely just gone up and up and up. But against Alabama, he shot 3 of 9, had 9 points and 7 rebounds.
Nobody played well in that game for them.
Yeah.
He's a threat from the three, so we're going to have to get out on him. He's massive. He's not a skinny 7 foot. Mm-hmm. He's a massive 7 foot tall guy that probably weighs 260. And look, he put 28 and whatever against Florida. That's against Castleton. Castleton is a good player, as we all know. I'd like to punch him in the face because his face is punchable. But Castleton's a good player and a really good defender. And he just ate Castleton alive.
Yeah, so this will be a major challenge for Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell. Mm-hmm. Hope to see them answer the challenge. But we will be back to discuss that game early next week. We'll be back to talk about the Vanderbilt game and then preview the Ole Miss game before we get right into the end of the season. I'm excited. This was a big win against Missouri. Hope we can build on it, and we will be back to talk about it. Thank you all for listening. War Eagle.
War Eagle.